Were any of your formative crushes cartoon characters? Are any of your current crushes cartoon characters? If so, allow this podcast to be your terrible, terrible enabler. I'm comedy writer and 42-year-old child, Gabby Hutchison Crouch, and I'm all about those moving drawings. Why do they appeal? I want to find out with the help of some funny guests who are here to talk about the animated characters that they would chase around going, "Ah, ma chérie, do not run from our love," like a problematic Looney Tunes character. Will we find something out about early crushes, pop culture and sexuality, or will we just bang on about animated spandex? Whatever we do, I hope it'll help you see that that recurring dream you have about tenderly sodomizing Skeletor until he weeps in your arms is absolutely fine. Welcome to Curiously Drawn. With me this episode is a stand-up comedian as seen on BBC Three and Comedy Central, and a comedy writer who's worked on programmes such as The Now Show on Radio 4 and The Emily Atack Show on ITV2. She is the third of the cursed Capricorn women who sat under tables and tried to make an ill-fated podcast with me that the BBC then took 8 months to tell me that they didn't want. That's right, BBC Sounds. I brought every motherfucker from that onto my podcast. How do you like them apples? It's Mary O'Connell. Hello, Mary.
Hello. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for saying yes to this. No, yeah, I got Ella on as well. Ella did a record for this series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and Shan was on last series, so I've got everyone on because I think we made quite good friends on that podcast. BBC Sounds took eight months and then went no, and also we want our sound recording equipment back.
Oh my god. What a chaotic time.
What a chaotic time that was, because that was the start of lockdown as well. It was just like, oh
yeah.
It was a strange time.
You know, when we actually recorded the episodes that will never see the light of day.
We'll never see the light of day.
I had COVID. I didn't realise at the time, but I actually had COVID. And I'd made this blanket fort because we were sort of like for the sound like, you know, they've given us all these instructions. And I was like, oh, it's hot in this blanket.
Oh, no.
But I had literally had a fever.
Oh, God, yeah. It was such a strange time. And in one of our interviews, a friend of mine, hit me with this information that was really bleak. And I didn't know what to do with it because he was a mate. And I was like, I can't really stop this to say, are you okay? Because we had to record four episodes in one day. So it was just like, we'll just get through
There's
this
no
and
time.
We'll get out and get done. And it was also like with all of you guys who, you know, he was my friend that I brought and you guys didn't know him. And I just really wanted to stop and spend half an hour and say, mate, are you okay? Because this sounds really harsh, but yeah. It was strange-ass times. BBC High and, yeah. Oh, wow. Interestingly, I also worked on, not on the Emily Atack show, but ITV2 got me in to, like, pitch ideas for a different Emily, because basically, when was this? This was about 6 years ago, maybe? They were like, we've got this person called Emily Atack and we don't know what to do with her. TV comedy being TV comedy, you do get this a lot. You do get
people going,
we've got this celebrity and we don't know what to do with this celebrity. Can you think of some vehicles? It's like, oh, I'd rather like pitch my own show. But no. So I pitched a very strange narrative. It was like a narrative show where she was in like different situations with John Barrowman. Like in one of them, the world had ended and she was on a raft on the sea with him. Like Waterworld.
Oh, that sounds like the ITV crowd would love that.
Yeah. They said, yeah, just go bonkers. So I was like, okay, you asked the wrong person to go bonkers, because when I go bonkers, I go very genre. Oh, well. But yeah. C'est la vie. The one that you worked on was the one that people wanted. they did give me a little bit of money for my ideas, but it was, I think they'd asked the wrong person to come up with them. If they just go to me, oh, we've got this one person, what do we do with them? I'll go, put them in space! So what have you been up to besides besides that, and also a strange and bleak day under a desk where you had COVID?
So lots has happened. I've had COVID another time since that time. But that was in 2022. Right. We're now in 2023, which feels bananas. Yeah. I did Edinburgh. I did a work in progress show in Edinburgh.
Yay!
In Edinburgh last year. I'm doing the Leicester Comedy Festival, and I think I'm doing the Cambridge Fringe and like another one as well. Ooh. As Edinburgh. But I need to. I'm still in that sort of like, you know, relaxing Christmas New Year's Day.
Yes.
Vibe. I haven't. I've got a day planner for 2023. I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to turn me into that girl. I've heard about her, and I think I can do it.
But yeah.
I've not written in anything yet. I've not planned anything. I've not done anything.
I mean, so, for the record, we're recording this at lunchtime on the 3rd of January. Like, we are barely we're barely out of the Christmas holidays. My kids yeah. just went back to school this morning, and. Yeah, we're probably going to go out with this like end of this month or sometime in February. Cool. So, but yeah, just for the record, for the listeners at home, this is the right at the start of the year. And nobody's got their shit together yet. I've sent one work email today.
Same.
Yeah, we're not together at all. But that's okay. So, yeah, look forward to it. We've got planners. I've got a calendar with some stuff on. It's fine. Most of my stuff at the moment is just like, well, this. So let's crack on with your first choice. Your first choice. So this is interesting, Mary. So my rules for this podcast is I will accept people's suggestions if it's been on once before. Three is my cutoff. I'll do it twice, but not thrice. I have already had to say no to somebody wanting Jane Lane from Daria because we've already done her twice.
Anybody
listening, when I contact you for series three, friends who work in comedy, don't say Jane Lane. Everyone loves Jane Lane. But we have had not only your first choice, but your second choice have been on before once. This is really interesting. So your first choice is someone we have had on before, but that's okay. Let's hear it again for the fun-loving trickster, thousand-year-old bass-playing half-vampire. He drinks the colour red and is in love with a princess who is partially sugar. She's a nuclear war survivor, but she's keeping it light. It's Marceline the Vampire Queen from Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah.
So Maeve de Bruijn had Marceline in series one, so she's obviously very popular with the ladies. But yeah, what Maeve
she just
yeah isn't she just so what Maeve really liked about her was like the layering and the mythology of Adventure Time and how sort of she was how Marceline was kind of really core to that because she's got such a long and deep backstory, I mean, as well as obviously all of Marceline's yearning. So what is it that you like about Marceline?
I think she knows how to turn a look. I like how she just like floats everywhere and like, you know, I've never seen her feet on the floor.
Yeah.
She's like, but she's not sort of like an ethereal manic pixie dream girl. She's like, she's moody. And emotional, and I like how they don't keep them in the exact same clothes. Like,
yeah,
you know, one episode she'll have a ponytail, and I'm like, oh, this is new.
Gravity Falls. We always like that about Mabel's always got a different jumper on Gravity Falls, and it does take quite a bit of work getting your characters in different clothes.
Yes, sure.
Which is why, you know, they're obviously in like most animated shows, especially like the animated sitcoms, they're always wearing the same things. It is like a bit of an extra effort. And it's something that I really appreciate if they've got like a little, especially like different hairstyles, because that changes the silhouette of the character. But yeah,
and
I like
hair
it.
When is they... so much of her.
Yes. I do like that with sort of like playing with characters' hair, and it kind of makes them more real to me, I think, if they if they're not just like, yeah, there's one sort of one silhouette, if they do sort of play around with, because, you know, humans do that. Well, I know she's not human, but people do that. They wear different clothes. They have different styles and things like that. Yeah, I do really like that she's grumpy as well. Love a grumpy character.
And I love her singing voice. I love her musical talent. I like that she was always really nice and understanding and sympathetic towards the Ice King. Because, and you know, like, that's intriguing because we don't, like, it depends on how far you've watched up to, but we don't know the mystery behind it all. But, like, just the fact that she's sees the human in him as well, I thought was really, I don't know, it just showed a lot of depth to her.
Yeah.
Also, when they flip the genders and it's Fiona and Cake. Like, so male Marceline, what is male Marceline called?
Oh, I can't remember.
I'm gonna look it up. But he is so hot. I mean, because it's Donald Glover's voice.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's Donald Glover's voice.
Marshall Lee, the vampire king. Yeah, I'm just looking at some pictures here of him, very emo boy in his little lumberjack shirts.
I think that's the thing, because I had an emo phase when I was younger, so these emo characters really speak to me.
I mean, she is very emo, isn't she? But yeah, she is soft emo, as you say. You know, she finds humanity and the ability to be redeemed in like really primary antagonists. So they did talk about the Ice King's backstory and just how tragic it is. And obviously, you know, she was there for all that time. You know, she's old and she has survived a nuclear war, which that's gonna mess with anyone's head, surely.
I guess she seems really independent because it's like she's been alone for a long time, even though her dad is around, but he ate her fries, so they don't talk anymore.
Oh, yeah. Guess I'm walking. No mo powers.
Didn't your daddy give you demon powers?
My dad never gave me squat. Well, just some soul-sucking skills. Remember this?
My soul!
And just the fact that, like, her and Princess Bubblegum have this long, dramatic relationship.
Yeah.
And that was so funny to find out because, obviously, like, Finn has a crush on Bubblegum, but he's, like, actually 14 and she's maybe, like, 100 years old.
Again, it's that sort of weight. She's sort of, I think, sort of Marceline carries that weight, and it is a show that sort of has got so much weight and depth to it, but it wears it really, really lightly. You know, it is a post-nuclear, post-apocalyptic world, but it wears it lightly, and it's got singing cupcakes and all of this sort of stuff. It's such an interesting show, and yeah, she's kind of morally grey as well. I love that about a character. And as I was saying in series one, it is so nice to have at this stage where they feel that they can have openly LGBT plus characters in a kids show, which, I mean, these days, you know, you just have to, you know, there's LGBT plus characters in so many kids shows, and that is amazing. That is so cool. With things like She-Ra, they're just like LGBT plus characters just everywhere, which is brilliant. But this was only about 10 or so years ago, the same kind of time as Steven Universe. And, you know, those were basically these guys were walking so that future cartoons could run.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is great that they, you know, these are the guys where they were finally getting brave enough to go, well, we could do this. We could represent this and, you know, show LGBT plus kids that they're part of society. You know, they're normal, and the feelings that they're feeling are as valid as a boy feeling things for a girl or vice versa. And I love that. I could go on for
it's super important to have. Yeah. Because it wasn't sort of like, because, you know, sometimes when you have like queer relationships on screen, it's like all it is a queer relationship, or like they're just sort of there, like it's like, you know, there's a bit of tokenism.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was just sort of like, it was just a part of it. It's like, she's Marceline the Vampire Queen. Like, she, yeah, she has a history. But it wasn't everything about her.
Yeah.
Because it's important to like, for people to just be like fleshed out in every sense. Not just there to be like the gay one.
Yeah, because she, as you know, she has got all this sort of weight behind it, and that sort of long, that long sort of brooding relationship that she's had. You know, it's all this history has gone on between her and Bubblegum that we don't really sort of see, and we just sort of get glimpses of. And yeah, it's a sort of thing where we sort of, you would expect that to be, well, if it had been like even 5 years beforehand, that would have been like really cool, but it would have almost certainly between a male character and a female character. And it is,
yes, exactly.
It was really groundbreaking for them to have that as between two female characters. Apparently the kiss that they did have wasn't scripted. Maeve told me this in series one, that it was sort of added in the storyboarding stage by like the directors and the animators, because they were just like, this can't go on. we can't just keep sort of teasing this out, sort of a nod and a wink and people going, is that what I think it is, and never actually doing it. I think at one point they went, no, we're going to have to actually, I think we've sort of alluded to this enough, we should like openly go with it.
Yeah.
Which is great. And again, with sort of the sort of tying it to sort of Steven Universe, which is around the same kind of time when Ruby and Sapphire got married. Again, they made some real choices there to have them, to show them that it is a romantic relationship. I think some of the countries where same-sex relationships are still taboo were dubbing Ruby's voice with a male actor, because Ruby's slightly more mask-looking one. So they put put Ruby in the dress when they had their wedding day. So it's like, well, so now you've got a male character wearing a dress to get married. And yeah, they put it as part of like a really major story arc so that you couldn't cut it. It's decisions like that that I love.
So good. Yeah.
Just like fuck with them. it is great. And these, as I say, these days, you get so many great LGBT plus characters in kids shows, which is wonderful for somebody who grew up under Section 28 and grew up by under Section 28, and it fucks you up. And yes, hopefully see much more of that, and we'll never be back at a stage where people have to worry about whether to write in a kiss or not. So I'll move on to your next choice. So your next choice is another one we've had on before, but again, that is okay. I am fascinated by the characters that are coming up more than once. And I don't know whether that's, you know, the people that I'm talking to, obviously, because I'm talking to a lot of people in comedy who are around the same kind of age range as me, whether I'm getting like a lot of like-minded folk. But yeah, I'm fascinated by the people who are coming up more than once. And this is a really interesting one to have more than once. So we're revisiting a chiseled blonde teddy boy chauvinist incel who constantly comes a cropper against 90s feminism. He lives with his mama. He's a nifty 50s throwback. He's hot sex pest Johnny Bravo. So this is our first double up of a male character. And it's really, I'm really intrigued by the fact that this is our first male double up, Johnny Bravo, because he doesn't have a great personality. So before we had Charlie Dinkin, who chose him, and she really liked that he was just like hyper hot and hyper confident. So what do you like about him?
Yeah, I do think with, like, you know, I don't think personality is as important as everyone says it is, you know, like.
Yes. sometimes you can just be hot.
Yeah, he's just hot. Like, I know that he's, because I obviously, like, I watched it when I was younger, and it's been a long time since I've revisited the show. And I know him as a character is bad, but it was kind of just because he kept telling me with everything that he did that he was hot. And I was like, I guess you are. Like, I believe you. And I was just sort of like, yeah, that's just what hot people do. They just like wear sunglasses and black t-shirts, like, and they just have these shoulders. Like, he was so much shoulders.
Proper Dorito body.
Yeah. And I just thought that he was cool because he thought he was cool.
And I mean, like, he is so confident, and that I suppose the confidence is quite attractive.
Yeah,
even when it's sort of ramped up to like comic levels, and that he's actually a pain. If you were meeting him in real life, he would be a pain. But that confidence is great.
I think there is just something about, like, with a cartoon, a hot character is just hot. Like, it doesn't really matter as much about, like, what they're like. Because, like, you know, villains are hot in cartoons. And he was just, like... And it was, we know, we saw the show from his perspective. And I feel like I just remember maybe, like, his legs moving around really fast, but, like, his body being still. And, and just being intrigued by what that...
It's the proper sort of Hanna-Barbera run, isn't it? The legs going, and they're just not animating the top half.
I just like that, like, every move he had a sound effect. I'm sure that everything had a sound effect.
He was always sort of putting those sort of karate, of karateing the air, like, and you're absolutely right. I think one of the joys of, like, Cartoon Crushes is they're not real. They're, like, even one step removed from, like, a fictional character played in live action, because that fictional character has the face of an actual person. This is one step removed. They are not real at all. They are the safest people to crush on. And if you want to crush on, like, an animated dingbat, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't mean anything. It's just, like, you going, that guy's hot, and I'm going to enjoy these feelings that I'm watching this hot person with, like, there's no consequences to this crush at all.
I do like a bimbo. I love a male bimbo. I love a himbo.
Yes, a himbo.
They like...
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of white trash. I like...
Yes.
I like the guys from Jackass. I like the Dukes of Hazzard.
He is very much of that vein of that sort of the 90s. Just the sort of dumb 90s guy.
Huh? You're rain, busy mama?
Hey, you meathead. You're so stupid. You joined a stupid contest and they said no professionals. Oh, I don't want to say you're a loser, but I hear you tie stakes around your neck to get dogs to play with you. What's the matter? Cat got your brain?
Does this mean you dig me?
Don't you know when you're being insulted?
How about you and me go find an island somewhere and make fishy lips?
I had Dude, Where's My Car on, like, DVD.
Right.
And I would watch it so often. And and that's a good, like, that's a good bisexual film, because it's a 15, so you know you're going to see some boobs.
Yes.
Like, you know, they're also in it. I remember there being, like, wet t-shirt competitions in the film, and I was like, oh yeah, this is my thing.
It is really funny sort of revisiting the bisexual lady eye for all these things that we kept being told, oh, women won't like this because it's chauvinistic, women won't like this because there's, like, the body standards, like, really up. I'm like, no, I just really like the tits. I really like tits. I'm not projecting body insecurities at all. I'm just horny.
Basically,
I mean, he is quite a satirical figure.
Yes.
Obviously, he's a satire of that type of guy. He's a satire of the sort of the sort of dumb beach himbo, sort of chauvinist. But I mean,
in the 90s, there are so many of that type that we were being told unironically we were supposed to fancy. Like the state of 90s hunks. Like just the word hunk in general just like makes me... my skin crawl. I don't like that word because it brings to mind these sort of these greasy, oily, like front cover of Just 17 in the mid 90s kind of guys. And that's just, it's just not attractive. Like, I mean, we were told that Mel Gibson was a hunk and he's one of the worst human beings in the world. Like that was the state. That was the bar.
A lot of these hunk, hunk identification. We regret some of it. There's a hindsight hunk vision.
I mean, some of them were good because it also created Keanu Reeves as like the sort of ultimate sort of like dumb beach himbo, and he seems pretty okay for now. You never know with celebrity when they're gonna
with a male celebrity. You never know. All they need is
with
that
celebrity,
time.
We can always sort of say at the point of recording, he seemed pretty good. He seemed pretty good, but there were a lot of that type of guy in the media at the time that we were being sort of unironically told you fancy this guy. So I suppose it's sort of a fun Johnny Bravo is like a fun distillation, like a taking that to ridiculous levels. But also with like the fun of watching women just repeatedly reject
him. And him losing faith. Like him, he's just being like, you know, oh, it's a bad day. Oh, you know, it doesn't knock him.
It doesn't at all. I do like tenacity in a character as well. It's like the sort of the Boomhauer, you know, how Boomhauer's way of getting women is just like to ask every woman he sees out.
Pretty lady, one don't talk about it, maybe don't call you sometime.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Hey there, pretty lady, I'm about to talk about it, maybe I'll give you a call sometime.
Oh, please.
Hey, baby, you know I'm talking about look good on your feet, you know, look better on my bed. I'm talking about giving them up digits, man.
Why don't you go home and take another cologne bath?
You just got blown off 3 times.
Yeah, so?
It's kind of like that. And again, sort of that Boomhauer sort of not, just confidence not being knocked at all by just rejection after rejection after rejection, because it's just a numbers game. And he knows that he will eventually. I mean, you know, we're writers. We work in comedy. We know about the numbers game. Yep. We know about not getting knocked by rejection after rejection. We know, just send it out more. I suppose in that way we can identify with him. You know, his approach to dating is the same way as our approach to getting commissioned. I've taught myself around to liking him now. Because he's just like, he's the dating to my trying to get paid, trying to get a commission. His dates are my pilots.
No, he understands the strategy, as do we.
He does, as do we. Excellent. Yes, good. I like him now. I've decided. I'm going to move on to choice 3. So your third choice is 2 people, but once you suggested it, I was absolutely on board with them being submitted as a pair, because they are an iconic duo. A Twitter follower of mine recently described them as every elder millennial weeb's bisexual awakening. And I think that's the truest description I've ever heard. Even their hair is bi pride colour.
It literally is.
They are 90s anime's most lovable dumbass antagonist. They've sunk decades of their life and God knows how much expense into trying to kidnap a run-of-the-mill Pikachu, even though they have a rare talking Meowth with them. Prepare for trouble and make it double. It's Jesse and James, aka Team Rocket from Pokemon. Oh, mates, I love these guys so much. I love them so much. I love a chaotic boy-girl pairing.
Yeah.
I love like morally grey antagonists who are lovable.
Yeah.
They love their cats, which again, I love.
How bisexual is that they come with a cat?
They come with a cat. They're both queer-coded as hell. They've both got really tragic backstories. I fucking love them. I love those guys. They're the best things about Pokemon. But why don't you tell me what you love about Team Rocket, and then I'll blather on.
Honestly, I just loved how high fashion they were.
To protect the world from boring fashion.
To dress all people with flash and passion.
To give our Pokemon pretty faces.
To extend our art to outer spaces.
Jesse.
James.
Salon Rocket. When it comes to chic, we know what's right.
Surrender your taste to prepare to fight.
I thought that they were so cool with their matching uniforms that both had the little slit on the t-shirt.
Yes.
Like, and Jesse's like, is that little slit, that's just a little bit a little bit suggestive, like, of, you know, yes, of her boobs and the mini skirt and these mm-hmm. these high boots, these boots that go up so high. And
yeah, they are great.
Like, both of their hair on both of them, like Jessie's hair is just sort of like a little
big swoop.
It's like, it looks like a sex toy. Like, it looks like a little
yes.
It looks like a little stimulator. And
Yeah, they're both so fashion. They're so fashion. And James has got those sort of big curtains. Yeah. And again, you will sometimes have them play with that hair. They'll sometimes have it back. They'll sometimes yeah. have it sort of half up, which is sort of, yeah, again, I love it. I love how, yeah, I love characters that like play with their hair in even though that's hard to animate. And yeah, sort of Jesse's iconic swoop. Yeah, and I like that they're clearly love each other.
Yes,
are absolutely yeah. devoted to one another, but it's never clear what kind of love that is. Yeah. And I like that. Like, I don't know whether I love them as just besties or whether I do ship. Sometimes I do ship them a little bit, but sometimes I just want them to be like chaotic besties mm-hmm. who would never. But how am I not supposed to root for queer-coded pair of dumb, traumatised hotties who love each other and they love their cat and they go around in a hot air balloon that's shaped like their cat?
I love a codependent relationship. Like, yeah. They're just sort of like, because obviously, like, you know, like, it's a cartoon, it's funny, but like, they are bad for each other, but they also can't be without each other.
Yes, we nailed it. She can do it. Jessalee, you're not off the rails.
Of course not. I was able to make it this far because of you.
We'll follow you forever, Jesse.
The feast is on your wallet, James.
With pleasure.
Oh God, never. No, yeah, they love it. I love the way they do that sort of cartoon scared hug. Like, if they're ever scared, they'll like be like, yeah, ah! Yeah. Like hugging each other. I love how keen they are on. I love their dumbass schemes. Love yeah. it. Like, they're always digging pits mm-hmm. and setting traps, and they are so keen to dress up to go undercover, and it yeah. almost always involves both of them dragging up. But like, always it'll be like Jesse will be dressed as a man and James will be dressed in a big dress and it's hot with both of them. I keep remembering this one bit where they introduce themselves prepare for trouble and a dance, I'm wearing tights instead of pants. They are just so keen to get on board with that. There's like pictures that I've seen of where they're sort of pretending to be a couple at a wedding, and obviously, so Jesse's got the tux and James is in the dress, obviously. Love that about them. And I don't know whether that is meant to be laughable. I think it's goals. I want that relationship with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just so willing to role play.
Just at the drop of a hat.
Because I guess it's like everything, all of the scheming, everything. I feel like it's all foreplay. That's because I ship them hard.
And, yes, good.
And I just think that like this is all like stuff that they need to do, like to just sort of like as their own sexual fantasies. Like they just need to. Mm. They need, like they're just playing villains in something.
Oh yeah.
And then they're gonna go on their hot air balloon and just bang it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what they'd do with me at that point because there's no privacy on that thing. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a cat and you do have a sex life, that the cat will just sit there and watch and like lick its feet while you just go on with it. Uh-huh. It's fine. Although, yeah, it is a talking meow. Might be a bit traumatized. Mm-hmm. And they both have. So they introduce James's traumatic backstory incredibly early. It's in the first series that they go, oh yeah, he was abused as a child and he ran away from home and remains on the run because his parents keep trying to marry him off to the highest bidder because his parents are really rich. He comes from a really rich family and he chose a sort of this life of poverty on the run, sort of working for a villain because his parents wanted to like marry him off to the sort of rich lady. Mm. And it's really bleak. And I feel like the Pokemon creators always wanted us to really like Team Rocket just from how early they brought in James's tragic backstory. It's like, oh yeah, yeah. I like this guy. I liked him anyway, but now he's got a rubber ducky story. I've got even more of a reason to like him. And Jesse's got a really tragic backstory. I think Jesse sort of grew up in extreme poverty. And Meowth was abandoned because he was able to talk. So they're all like rejects. All... They're rejects and losers who found this family.
Rejects and losers who belong together. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, and sweet. I love that for them. I'm glad that you. I'm glad that you ship them. I sort of go through phases of shipping them. They do seem to be kind of into each other.
Yeah.
Certainly at times they will make one another blush.
I love cartoon blushes.
Love a cartoon blush. It speaks a thousand words. Yeah. Especially like an anime blush because they go fully red. And you get little lines
the little hashtags on the cheeks.
Yeah. Yes. and they have there was a big sort of announcement recently that they had finally retired Ash and Pikachu because Ash finally won the Pokemon competition. Oh, yeah. I don't really pay much attention to Ash's storyline. I'm just watching it for the dumb antagonists like flirting with each other. But yeah, they apparently have retired them, and I just really, really hope that they don't also retire Jesse and James. I hope that whoever they go with in the future, they're still being followed around by these 20-something losers who love each other. Yeah, I do sometimes add like different antagonists, like including other people in Team Rocket, and I just get really grumpy. That's not my guys. Who are these idiots? They look competent. I don't want competent antagonists. No. I want just chaos merch. Very quick chaos merch.
It's not about efficiency. They're about spectacle and shenanigans.
Shenanigans. That's it. It's shenanigans. you just sort of shenanigans that you can't help but love. You also wanted to mention Brock from Pokemon, who's got sort of like all this sort of big brother energy to him. What is it you like about him?
I think it's just the fact that you can't see his eyes.
Very mysterious.
You know, I just thought he was so fit, and like I guess it looked like he was always smiling. Like he always had just like a bit of a dumb smile.
Again, another kind of a himbo, because he's kind of the jock one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's another himbo. He's stupid, but he's also like a protector, and his Pokemon was like this big rock, and like it just felt.
So sort of protective, positive masculinity.
Yeah. Mm. Like if you're walking home with him and someone like, you know, tried to take your bag, he would he'd have him.
Yeah. And never ever show him his eyes.
Yeah.
Let me finish up by asking you one last question, which is if you had the ability to make one of his choices flesh and blood and bring them into the real world, mm-hmm. who would you pick and would you try to pursue them in real life?
I think if I could bring one of these guys into the real world, I think I'd have to pick Marceline. Because she's so cool and she's also the most modern. She would fit in the best with just sort of like the world today, because that's kind of Adventure Time is like a modern type of show. Like it just felt like, you know, the dialogue, that's just how people talk. I like you know, I like that she's kind of sardonic, she's a realist, like and I think I don't think I would pursue her. I think I'd think that she was maybe too cool for me, but I'd definitely want to befriend her. And so I'd bring up, do you know what? I would want to be in a band with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent choice. Because yeah, thinking about it, if Team Rocket were real, they would die.
they would die straight away.
As soon as they blasted off again, that would break their necks and kill them. And I'd just be really sad. So, yeah, that's a good reason not to bring Team Rocket. Yeah, excellent choice. Brilliant. So we have spoken about your upcoming shows. Remind people of that and let them know if you want to let them know how they can follow you on social media, etc.
Okay, so I'm doing Leicester Comedy Festival. If I, the date, it will be, it's 22nd of February. I'm doing that. I'm doing Cambridge Festival at some point in the year. Cambridge Fringe, I mean, and another Fringe. This isn't my strong point, but I have a website. and it's called marywiththe.com. So it's like an actual .com. I think that's pretty good. I have Instagram is probably the best place to find me. It's Mary with the gold shoes. and TikTok I occasionally do when I feel bored. and that's Mary with the TikTok. Twitter I don't use a lot, but it's Mary Does Gigs. I have no brand consistency. That's something... It's one of my New Year's resolutions to maybe sort that out this year. We'll see how I get on. I don't think it's going to change very soon.
But I mean, is it really worth bothering with Twitter? It's going to die really soon. I really need to find somewhere else to go because that idiot's just going to destroy
ruined it.
He is ruining it. But the fun thing is that he's ruining all of his other businesses at the same time. So, yeah, we'll go down, but we will take your empire down with us.
Oh, I can't wait for his downfall documentary on Netflix. I can't wait.
Oh, so much fun. Oh, brilliant. Well, as we look forward to the imminent destruction of one of the world's richest men, thank you ever so much for coming on, Mary.
Thank you so much for having me.
Huge thanks to Mary O'Connell. For more credits and details, see @curiously_drawn on Twitter.